Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, as I say, founder, owner of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, the Kids for Love project and radio show, and the Love by Intuition show that you're listening to right now. This is a live Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. You can hear the Love by Intuition show every other week. And then on our own syndicated station, you can hear it Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern. And while you're there, check out all our glorious hosts. They're all here serving everyone out there with their modality, their message. And we're all unique, and yet we're all going in the same direction of serving you out there and really helping everyone to come to a place of, you know, really love is what all I'm about. As if you listen to the show, it's all about the love within and coming from our truth and making a difference. And when we're in that energy, we fill ourselves up with just a glow of love. And I have the most amazing couple. Everyone probably knows them out there in the world. And they are, I'm honored to have Christopher and Leoni Buck. They are founders of Humanity Healing International, Omtimes Media, and probably more familiar with Omtimes Magazine, which is phenomenal. And as far as Humanity Healing International, they started that first, which I wasn't aware of. It's a humanitarian, non-political, non-denominational spiritual organization promoting spiritual activism as a means to foster healing for communities around the world that have little or no hope. So we're going to talk about that with them, as well as one of their projects, which is the Albino Rescue Project. It's an awareness of what is happening in this world, the tragedies, the atrocities that are done by the hand of a human. And so it's all about, and I love you for this, because you're a socially conscious company. And that's what I think a lot of companies that are coming up, it's more than just, you know, having a business. It's doing something to serve the world. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Chris and Leoni.
Well, thank you. It's a joy to be here.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. And so before we get into the project, what inspired you even to start HHI?
Well, it's a funny story. Leoni and I actually met on MySpace back in the day when MySpace was still a thing. She had gone to MySpace to as part of a commitment that she had made when my wife is Brazilian, and when Leoni, about a year after she got to this country, she was invited to the United States to study shamanism with the Navajo, which was kind of an amazing thing for a Brazilian woman. But she was contacted and brought here, and about a year later, she was hit by a drunk driver and lost the use of her legs for about 18 months. And during that time period, she had many conversations with God, and one of them was they came to an arrangement where if God would allow her to walk again, that she would commit it to and achieve the 14 acts of mercy as outlined in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I'm telling this story because Leoni doesn't like to tell it because she's a little shy about it, but those 14 acts of mercy rippled out into a lot of interesting things. Among them, she is a death row minister and served at with San Quentin and Chowchilla. Is that correct?
Chowchilla. Yeah. And Polunsky in Texas.
But one of those things was is to provide inspiration, and she did that in the form of a MySpace page called RAC, or short for Random Acts of Kindness. And there was nothing about her on the page. It was just inspirational quotes and pictures and messages, and it became quite popular. I used to tease her about being a MySpace deity because she only had like 200,000, you know, friends or something.
No, I didn't have to. I had 20,000.
But it's... what happened is, so she was there doing her thing, providing inspiration, and I ended up getting put on MySpace by a friend who wanted to start dating again, thought MySpace would be a good way to meet her future husband, but didn't want to look like she didn't have any friends, so she made profiles for everybody that she knew, including me, and that's how I got there. Now, at the time, I just had gone through studying a particular school of Reiki called Reiki Jinki Do. So I was looking for people in my area to help do energetic healing at a local cancer center. And Liani and I stumbled across each other and started talking. And before you know it, I was passing on people that were in need of spiritual counseling to Liani, and Liani was passing on people in need of energetic healing to me. And she got an email from a gentleman one day that said, you know, I'm in the hospital. I have stage 4 cancer. The doctors give me less than 2 weeks to live. I'm desperate. I'm willing to try anything, but don't ask me to pray because I just don't have any faith. Mm-hmm. And Liani was in California at the time, and I was on the East Coast, and we kind of looked at each other across the country. It was like, how do we respond to this? So we wrote him back a letter that started, "You don't need faith. We have enough faith for you." And we promptly contacted every single prayer warrior and every single energetic healer we knew on MySpace. And we did a massive focused attention on this man's healing. And he contacted Liani with a couple more emails, and then he went silent for about 3 weeks. And we thought perhaps we had lost him. And all of a sudden we got an email that said, "I don't know what you did. The doctors don't know what you did, but my cancer is in complete remission, and they're kicking me out of the hospital tomorrow."
Mm.
And we kind of thought to ourselves, hey, we're onto something good here.
But we knew it wasn't us.
Oh, it's not us.
It wasn't us. It was actually an experiment. When you put the attention, the energy, all the energy that we ask for, all the healing was going through him, and something happened on him. He changed his outlook in life, and he changes in such an incredible way that he ended up abandoning what he was doing before. He became a photographer,
a bird
photographer, and the beauty of it was he was rebuilding for the first time in his life a relationship with God. So mm-hmm. Because he was giving a second chance.
He figured there had to be something there because of what happened. And so what we did is we decided this is pretty good. And Liani had a Yahoo group, and you know, it was called Humanity Healing. And we sort of like put out the shingle and opened our doors for business. And originally what we were doing was we were connecting healers with people in need of healing and seekers in touch with those who had spiritual guidance. And that was our mission. And we ran across a charity, the Aurora Village Project, that a British couple had been right there in the Sri Lanka when the tsunami hit back in, 2004? And they had a great idea. They originally were going to build an orphanage for the children of the village next to where they were staying. But they found out that orphanages in Sri Lanka were you know, ground zero for child trafficking. So they hit upon a great idea. They built a village, and the people that moved into the village adopted the children that had lost their parents. And we thought this was pretty cool, so we did a big fundraiser on MySpace for them, and we completely funded their project in about, 3-4 days? Something
wow.
like that. We haven't ever done that well since then, but that was pretty phenomenal. And we realized that that's what we wanted to do. So we started, you know, our own projects with Humanity Healing to make an impact in different parts of the world.
And right. And now how much later did you start Times Magazine?
Well, we started Humanity Healing in 2007, and in July of 2009, we were selected, Humanity Healing, in June, and Humanity Healing was selected to participate in the Global Giving Challenge. Global Giving is a large nonprofit that's a pool of donors that looks for small charities to bring together and to have more of an impact as far as fundraising and things like that. And to do that, you had to, in the course of a month, you had to raise a certain amount of money and have a certain amount of donors to be added to their community. And so we went out to all the different spiritual groups that we were associated with and said, can we get a public service announcement? We have this project we're doing in the refugee camp of Tego Atu, which was outside Gulu in North Africa. Our intention was to build a vocational training center for children. And we needed help raising awareness so we could get donations and donors in order to be accepted into this community of global giving. And nobody really wanted to do that. You know, they didn't want to help in the real world with something so visceral. They were more into global meditations of peace or this sort of thing, not actually boots on the ground. And we had one gentleman came back and said, "Well, tell you what, I'll send you an email blast out for you for $3,000." And this was in 2009, and at the time we could feed, clothe, and educate a child in the camp at $5 a month. So that represented a lot of children. And Leonie's like, "Okay, what kind of mailing list do you have?" And he said 3,000. At that point in time, you know, Leonie got thoroughly disgusted, said, "To heck with this. We have 8,000 people in our own community. I'll start my own damn magazine to raise awareness." And
was quite an undertaking, though, to start a magazine and to where it is today.
You know, Leonie can be quite the determined woman when she sets her mind to something. And we were very fortunate to have a number of excellent writers in our community, among them Judith Orloff, who was our first cover. And we sent the message out. And your first magazine was a little rougher than what you see now, but that's how Om Time started. Originally, it was once a month, and now it's every week, and it's grown to be quite a major enterprise. But it is also the largest source of funding we have for our projects on Humanity Healing. Om Time is what they call a 502
thing.
Corporation. It is wholly owned by the charity, so that any profit that we make can be funneled to the charity and its works without tax consequence.
Yeah. Now you had come together to help kids through this global giving community.
Yeah.
So you were on to that. How did you evolve to get to know about the albino kids and explain to the listeners what that project actually is?
All right. There is, in particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, there is a higher percentage of albinism than there is anywhere else in the world. And culturally, there have been a lot of stigma that has evolved around the albinos. In many places, they're not even seen as fully human, and therefore you can do whatever you want to them, and it's not really the same as doing something like, you know, a neighbor, because they're not really human. When I was over in Uganda in 2013, went over to evaluate our project for the vocational training center, and one of the schools I stopped at, there was a little albino girl and her younger brother that had been dropped off there, and she was just mesmerized by me because I was the first person that looked like her that she had ever seen. And it was during that time that I found out some of the things that were happening to children with albinism, adults also, but primarily children, that happens in different places in Africa. And So we kind of were aware of this at the time, and our country director, Michael Sabidi, back in 2014. Has it been that? Okay. It's been a ride. We got word of 14 children on the run from traffickers. And so, you know, Leonie and I joke about it, but essentially, you know, we decided that that's what we were going to give ourselves for Christmas. We basically sent the savings that we had at the time to Uganda to institute a rescue. And our goal was that we were buying 14 children. As terrible as that sounds, but we had to spend the money in order to get them away from the traffickers. And we were successful with 10 children that we brought into the program. Three children disappeared completely, and the 14th child, they found his head, which is a disturbing memory. But that's what started the program. We put the children into safe schools where they're protected, where the teachers have some training on the needs of children with albinism. For instance, children with albinism tend to have weak eyesight, so they need to sit closer to the front in order to read the chalkboard. And that's how the project started with those 10 children. Since then, we now have 51 children in the program. We just recently were successful with the rescue of three children, two girls and a young boy. The young boy was actually a survivor of a human sacrifice attempt. He was sold by his uncle, and who lured him off into the brush. Traffickers were waiting. They held him down over a basin and slit his throat. And fortunately, people heard it. They made enough noise. They chased the traffickers off, where they were able to save the boy's life, although it was real touch and go. And we got word and put together a rescue team and went out after him. Initially, when we got there, we heard that the boy had died of his wounds, which was devastating. But it turns out that Michael had a gut feel that. The answer, that story he was being told wasn't correct, and he did more digging and tracked them down in another village where they were hiding. But they had instructed everybody to tell them the boy had died because that was the only way to keep him safe from the traffickers. We rescued him. We put him into a hospital in Kampala where he could actually get the medical treatment he needed, not just the rudimentary care he received. And shortly we'll be bringing him fully into the system and getting him in school.
The problem is that he tested positive for AIDS, so he will have to be held longer in the hospital till we really are completely vetted to go with the other children in the program.
Right.
So.
Wow.
But there are really big challenges for us. Especially in the countries. Christopher didn't mention that, but right now our litter organization is working, in Uganda and also in Congo, because there's not many like us. This is a very big problem in Africa, all over Africa, but we just know a handful of organizations. They're trying to eliminate the practice of human sacrifice in the 21st century. It is one of the most ugly faces of human trafficking. We work with human trafficking, against human trafficking like others, but the facet we work with is one of the ugliest ones. But not saying that the other ones are easy, but those are, when we fail, somebody dies, literally.
Right.
So it's quite a big responsibility.
Wow. And now this has taken on a whole different look for you, because now you're driven to save these kids. And
we had always thought that humanity healing was our soul's calling. But I think that it truly crystallized when we started working with the albino children in Africa. Somebody needs to stand for them.
Right.
And we are the only ones doing this in Uganda. There are some other good organizations out there. For instance, down in Tanzania, there's an organization called Under the Same Sun. Peter Ash is the one that runs it. And they have been very successful with the government of Tanzania, who has recently outlawed witch doctors from Tanzania. They had a very significant problem. They weren't sacrificing the lives of the children. What they were doing was they were taking the hands off albinos.
Because
there's a ritual that they believe will increase one's prosperity if they, take an albino's hands. Of course, that doesn't help the prosperity of the albino at all, but...
Right. Hold that thought, Christopher, and we need to take our first break. And, it's just such... My heart is so heavy just listening to what the human does to another human. So for those out there, we're going to put the numbers out. If anyone would like to call in and ask Christopher Aliani a question, Joe is in the house. It's 617-237-1234 and 866-338-9663.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
In a single moment, your life can change. Join Marianne Pestana, host of Moments with Marianne, for a transformative hour of leaders in their field, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Tune in to experience Moments with Marianne every second Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Don't miss this. And remember, make every moment count.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
And we are back. I wanted to give the numbers out one more time. Joe is in the house and gladly answering any calls. 617-237-1234. Again, 617-237-1234. And 866-338-9663. The show you're listening to right now will be heard again on Dream Visions. Dream Visions, the number 7, radio.com, this coming Tuesday and Friday, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And I invite everyone to share this show with as many people as you know, because it's all about education. And even holding love, the vibration of love for everyone in the universe will eradicate the energies that are there for harming other people and animals and everything else. And I truly believe that vibration of love that we hold really is changing things. We may not see it as clearly as some of us, but it is there. One of the things I wanted to mention, both Christopher and Leoni were received the President's Call to Service Award issued by President Obama and the Corporation for National and Community Services. It recognizes the U.S. citizens and lawfully admitted permanent residents of the U.S. who have achieved the required number of hours of service over a 12-month time period. So that is a beautiful thing. Before the break, Christopher was speaking of some of the atrocities that happen to these little human beings. And Leoni, during the break, I mentioned that I know that you're sensitive to these things, and I am as well. But how, from your perspective, other than the boots on the ground, as Christopher said, how can we educate and how can we enlighten people so these things are just eliminated from, you know, from the U.S., I'm not, from the world?
Well, I do believe that awareness and education are the biggest, the two biggest tools we have to eliminate atrocities in general. Because I think when you educate, I do believe personally that a human being has to be educated. We know a lot intuitively, but in how to relate to others. Some people need more education than others. You need to understand and pretty much absorb what is the teachings of all, you know, basic teachings of any religion and all religions out there, which is the
golden rule.
The golden rule: do unto others as you want done unto you. You know, you will, and there are many ways to say the same thing. And so, when we develop the understanding that we all here as travelers, for a brief moment, a second in the universe, our lives, even lived in fully to 100, is nothing but a second. When we relate that we are just travelers in this planet, inside of the mothership Earth, and that our main goal is to assist each other in this journey, and that everybody's just in the pursuit of happiness, and they feel the same, that our similarities are much bigger than our differences. When you start putting together that the human needs are the same, you know, the need for love, the need for being validated, the need to have the relief of pain, the need and the right to have an education, food, and everything else, those are human needs. So when you look at another human being and say, you deserve the same I want for myself, and this is the point. And of course, education and awareness, but not education for education only. I think the education of the heart is right. The essential element in the shifting of consciousness and eliminating practices. There are, like, not even medieval, I would say prehistoric, you know, practices like really the sacrifice, the human sacrifice, or a child sacrifice into slavery the rest of their lives. That's another thing, that's another project that we do have, and we didn't mention, but I was just going to mention briefly here. We also work in Nepal with second daughters. This project is actually winding down right now. We just have three girls. In Nepal, there is a practice that was actually in the Constitution until 1980s, but it continues being a practice that the second daughter of a couple could be sold to slavery to China for 25 years because the state of Nepal will not educate her. So what we did was we worked with another organization and with the entire village. Now we just have three children, which are not children anymore. They're going to college. One will be graduating this year. All three of the girls are studying to be nurses. And one of the things that gave us a lot of pride and a lot of joy, despite the fact of the tragedy of Nepal, was that our three girls were able to assist the sick and the wounded through their training. They were in the streets when that horrible earthquake happened, and they were right there. And it was, for us, was rewarding because we are not going to be here forever, but we are empowering those children that otherwise would not have a chance to.
Right. And they're inspired to do something to serve others, and it just completes the circle of love in the way I'm looking at it.
We have a very strong belief in the self-service or selfless service as a path. And we teach, we make sure that the children in our programs all understand that and have some form of pay it forward so that they come to the understanding that it's through the service to others that communities and relationships are truly built. The path of selfless service, I believe, is the most rewarding one that any human can do because it's you know, if you truly want to find joy, you'll find it in helping others.
Right.
For a good example of this is we have the Pads for Schoolgirls projects, where we young girls would be kicked out of school because they've become young women and can't afford access to feminine hygiene products. We set up sewing teaching modules where we bring in sewing machine teachers, fabrics, and we teach the girls seamstress skills. And as part of their studies, they make reusable pad kits or pads that they can then give to other girls who don't have access to the program to help those girls stay in school. Because right. For every year a girl stays in school in sub-Saharan Africa, her earning potential increases by 10%. So the longer you can keep a girl in school, the better chance you have of breaking the cycle of poverty that has been keeping this area subjugated and women in this area subjugated for so long.
Exactly. Well, we're coming up on our second break, and I wanted to put out the information. You can go right to the main site, which is humanityhealing.org. You'll be able to see not only the Albino Rescue Project, but the projects that both Chris and Leonie are speaking of. You can contribute to any of them. Well, one of the things that I think is wonderful is for the Albino Child Rescue, you can actually give a child a future by sponsoring a rescued child, and it's only $30 a month. And, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket for most everyone, at least from my perspective. So everyone, check it out. Go to humanityhealing.org, and you can, you know, you can give a donation of $10, $5, or much more, or sponsor a child. Also, you can go to OmTimes, omtimesplural.com, and see the amazing magazine that they have created. We are going to a break, so we'll be back in a moment and speaking more of how we can inspire others to do more and how we can spread love to stop these crimes.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence.
Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because a child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
And here we are. Just a couple other things. I wanted to give out humanityhealing.org, and you can see all the different projects there. OmTimes.com, which is the magazine, and it's OmTimes Media as well. There's all kinds of information and facets of your business, I should say. As we know, we're created out of love, and part of, I think, the fear and the hate that comes within some people is real. They don't realize that we are connected to our source, the higher intelligence, God, you know, creator, that we're part of that and we're connected. We've been brought up generation after generation. I mean, think the atrocities go back a couple thousand years ago when Jesus was crucified, and it's the fear of the unknown or fear that someone might know more than you, or that with the hate, it just amazes me after all these thousands of years that there's still so much hate. Chris, from your perspective, why do you feel the human being has so much hate?
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear is one of the prime movers of the universe. It's, you know, people say love and hate, but it's love and fear. All of your, all of the base emotions come out of fear, whether that's a fear of lack or fear of the unknown. And so people are afraid. And that is, I think, the thing that drives the separation between us more than anything else. People aren't willing to step beyond their fear and recognize that in this other human being, there is someone that is just like them looking back.
Exactly.
One of the things that we say the skin suit is not important. We're all the same beautiful soul inside. And we truly believe that.
Absolutely.
We're very much one of the core principles of humanity healing is the law of one. When you help another, you help yourself. When one is healed, all are healed. And it's you'll have people that come back and say, well, you know, I like what you're doing, but there's so much need here at home, and that's true. There is so much need, And I think there is so much need because we're supposed to wake up and recognize it and do something about it. But no act of compassion, wherever it occurs in the world, is ever wasted. It raises each and every one of us, no matter how small.
Right.
And so I think it's important that that even if it's something small, like opening the door for someone and giving them a smile when it's obvious this person is having a bad day, you know, it improves the human condition.
Exactly.
And helps reduce the separation that we feel is between us.
Right, and it's that energetic vibration that is felt and expands and just keeps enlarging. And everybody can feel that, even a flicker, as I say, if they feel that flicker, then they can, you know, go from there and focus all that energy that is used to harm someone, turn it around and do, you know, use it to create something beautiful. How has all this, you know, working to save the albino kids and the different things in Nepal, how has it changed the two of you and your relationship as well?
How has it changed us? Well, you know, our relationship has grown over the years, and you know, I'm very blessed that Liani is now my wife, not just my partner. And that is something that's brought an incredible amount of joy to our life. We both went through some challenges in life, and once we came together and once we embarked on this path, then there's been a lot of joy that's been manifested.
Well, the
and Liani,
what we do is what this requires for both of us a constant renewal of faith, and we have a spiritual practice. You know, people don't think we don't do this, but we actually do this every day. During 2 hours a day, we chant and we pray, and before we go to bed, we pray again. We didn't do this week, but for the past 4 weeks, we have been fasting on Fridays, Saturdays, and go back to eat on Sunday night, because we were doing work for the purification of our own feelings, and it's imperative that you keep your ego in check all this time, or everything. It's like, we had, when we thought that the boy that we were rescuing the last time, when we thought that he was dead, and Christopher was beyond himself, and I told him, look, there will be days that we will lose. And it's like I was trying to convince him, because I was trying to convince myself, because there were days that we will lose. And in those days, we have to tell the universe, please, this one, we couldn't save, or we couldn't do it. Please, you know, take care of it. Feel this lack. I'm just concerned about the soul. But we need to keep our lives and our egos in check, because what we are in the end of the day is just the hands. We're just the hands here working. This is not our work. Creation is not ours. We are part of creation. We are co-creators. We have one humble part in this incredible amount of hands that I say always. Those hands, they're invisible, but they are weaving together the shift of consciousness.
Beautiful.
We have two sets of hands. There are many like us. Many.
I know there's thousands, millions that are doing wonderful things and coming from the heart. And
exactly.
That's so exciting.
Yes, the weaving. We are part of this flow. So there will be days, and then Chris is like, well, you know, you say that means that they're dead and that's okay. I said, no, it is not that.
I'm going to explain that one.
Well, okay, explain that then.
In my case, I let the ego, you know, get to to me. And what I recognized that I did in that particular case is that it was a failure of mine. I actually, you know, I telegraphed our motion to the people that were literally at war with the human traffickers, and I let them know what we were doing ahead of time. And as a result of that, I placed our operation.
I didn't realize
what I was doing. I realized it afterwards. But I placed our operation in Uganda, and particularly this boy's life, at risk.
Yeah, but when you, I understand how, I can only imagine how you must feel, but you're doing the highest work for the highest good for all, and you're doing that on a day-to-day basis, and so if you're coming from your truth and love and doing, not all the time is it going to, sometimes things don't work out, and yet there's a purpose for everything we learn, and I'm sure you've learned much about what happened there.
I have. I mean, we say we're hands in the garden, and that's truly what we are. This is, we have been given a job to do, but our job isn't the responsibility of the garden. Our job is to do the work that was assigned to us in the garden. And
yes.
When the ego, and this in my case, and the ego allowed me to take on more than that, you know, I saw this was my fight. This was, you know, my failure. And it was devastating. And it was an incredible lesson. The fact that the boy was alive and we were able to bring him in, I think this was something that was a lesson driven home very specifically for me, for how, you know, we're supposed to be doing this and how we're supposed to act. We're not supposed to be attached to the outcome. We're supposed to release. That doesn't mean you don't do your best. And that you try to accomplish the goal, but it is the action of doing, it is that action of compassion, it is that energy of compassion that is at the heart of it all. That is what we're supposed to do.
Right. And well said. Isn't it? I always find the human fascinating how, but I really think that we're programmed a certain way so that we can find our way at the, you know, as we journey through life, and it is the journey. We only have like a minute or so remaining. What would you like to say to the listeners?
Well, for starters, I'd like to thank you and express our gratitude for the opportunity to come on the show and share, you know, what we do and who we are and which is less important than what we do, but it's.
And I would like to thank Debara and Kevin
for connecting us.
Yes, Deborah Bruin-Toot was the one that connected us, and she's by heart, she had a feeling, and yes, it's so important to bring everyone to this awareness that the average person may not even know is going on. It's an honor to have you both. So I thank you for coming on, and we can have you back another time as well.
Well, we're always available. You know where to find us.
Yes,
we'll be here working.
Yes, so thank you for that. Thank you. And for everyone out there, again, spread this show around so that people will become aware and one person can make a huge difference. And for everyone out there, I'm wishing you unconditional love. I'm holding the vibration of just the most golden love for each and every one of you. And until the next time, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week, all designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Buffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one.